Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. So here we are with Entitled by Dr. Andrew Loney, The Rise and Fall of the House of York, which was only published on the 14th, available to the gentlemen and ladies of the press a few days prior to that. It's been heavily trailed on television. Dr. Loney has done a number of television interviews, some online, some in person, touring the studios of the United Kingdom to promote his book, having sold 60,000 before it was even printed. And that's in the United Kingdom alone. Coming out in the United States, Canada, Australia later on, there's been some legal trouble with one of those major Anglophone countries. I can't remember, some sort of delay. I don't know if it's going to be translated, but 60,000 is a phenomenal number. As he pointed out, his nemesis with whom he crossed swords on GB News, the Honourable Jacob Rees-Mogg, is he now Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg? His book about whatever Victorian Titans only sold a dozen, is it 600 copies? Anyway, I'm determined to have this in the thumbnails, which I'm holding here all the time. And there we see the Duke of Puke himself. We can see Fergie, she's commonly known, formerly the Duchess of York. Did she have the title stripped for her when she got divorced? Certainly she's not Her Royal Highness, but she still trades very heavily indeed on that. Because what is she, if not that? A secretary? She's a chalet girl, someone who only worked for 8 years in her life. So why should we care about her? Why should people pay her fat appearance fees? The only thing is because of her former marriage to Elizabeth II's second son. That's why she's got this Olympid-like adherence to him. And then we see on their wed there, okay, that snog on the balcony of Buckingham Palace, 23rd of July, 1986. So entitled, it's an unedifying tale. And I suppose it's a cautionary tale on... And it's the first full-scale biography of them. I've interviewed Dr. Loney twice, both times in person. He was very generous at this time, to me and nobody. So his credentials as a historian cannot be questioned, having read history at Cambridge University and getting a master's degree from Edinburgh University, a PhD likewise, by publication rather than by thesis. Fellow Royal Historical Society, a visiting fellow of Churchill College, Cambridge, and published four well-received biographies prior to this, including... one royal biography, two royal biographies. And people say he's got fixated, he's got a trilogy. He says he's going to move on to Pastures New. I don't know what his next project is. Perhaps he doesn't either. Was a literary agent. But one thing that struck me was also the parallels between himself and his subject. I mean, not Fergie, but Prince Andrew. Both named Andrew, most blatant similarity. Born within a year of each other. Both went to school in Scotland. Both married. Both had two children. Nominal Protestants, both heterosexual, obviously, and both had a long association with a major establishment institution. In the Prince's case, the Royal Navy, in Dr. Loney's case, Cambridge University. But there are obviously very important differences between them. Dr. Loney's morally unimpeachable, and as for his morality, Andrews is thought to be execrable, and so on. So it reads like a novel. It's got pace, it gives background, but not too much. Written with crystalline clarity. So I really appreciated the quality of the prose. It's got elan vital as well. Got a prologue, sort of a flashback to the wedding. Okay. So Charles and Diana, 5 years earlier, have been the wedding of the century. And one theme that keeps coming through is he feels hard done by, but yes, entitled, both in the sense that he's got royal titles. But, you know, fawning, the very best of everything is no more than his due. That he's so intellectually limited, he honestly thinks he's a superior species. The other royals recognize that they are mere humans who happen to be born in this extraordinary position. There, this exaltation is something they don't merit. They try not to embarrass people. And knowing people who work for Prince William and Kate Middleton, they're very decent employers, they're courteous and all the rest of it. Where and most of the royal family, the staff don't have a bad word to say about, but he is dreadful. And he's verbally abusive, he's completely unreasonable, he's irascible, he's infantile, he's just disgustful. No wonder he and Trump have a rapport, and so on. So these two get married, and of course there are always the unfavourable comparisons to Princess Diana, who's thought to be better looking, had a better press, to Prince Charles, who was going to be born to be king. And then there's this curious mixture of a superiority and inferiority complex in Andrew that comes out in the book, although Dr. Loney doesn't quite term it that way, that yes, he thinks he's a superior being because he's royal, but on the other hand, he feels hard done by because he's not going to be king because he's the second son and it's not fair. And the other thing is why he's so avaricious is, yes, he was second in line to the throne, but he wasn't second in wealth in the country, not by a long shot. There were thousands of people richer than him, and he went to school with some of them at Gordonston. And Gordon's not even that much of a school for the super rich. So then he felt, well, I've got to make up for this, and I've got to do anything I can to make money that laws don't apply to him, that he's privileged, like literally as well as figuratively. So there are some things which are definitely true. There are other things which are not clear, and it begins with one of those, is claiming that there was an extramarital affair between his father, Prince Philip, and her mother, Susan Barrante, as they said, because Fergie grew up in a horsey family. Her dad had been an army officer in the war, Pucker. Her father was then Prince Charles's polo manager. And the 70s is great ructions in the equestrian world when her mother ran off with the Argentine polo player about 10 years younger than her. So Fergie was there with her sister. They felt abandoned. The mother moved to Argentina with her lover. Fergie's parents got divorced. Fergie's mother married this guy, Mr. Barrantes, and so on. Her father married a second wife, had three more children with him. So Sarah Ferguson felt rather abandoned, sort of looking for a father figure. Divorce is much more unusual in the 70s than it is today. But this claim that Prince Philip had an affair with the then Mrs. Ferguson is unproven at best. So the thumb down is speculative, and I wonder how sure Andrew Loney is. Is he 80%, 90% sure? And obviously, you can't be certain unless they're sworn statements. Well, we're not going to have that, or video footage, photographic, pornographic evidence, or indeed some DNA. Well, we're not going to get that. There are rumors, but there's tittle-tattle. You can't believe some of these rumors are nonsense. So is that true? Is that false? I don't know. And some say, well, that'll go some way towards discrediting what's in the book. But anyway, it's been a feat of research. As you say, he approached 3,000 people for comments, and about 300 got back to him, interviews, some on the record, some on the record, off the record. And say, in some ways, Andrew, baby grumbling hasn't matured one day. So he's egomaniacal. He's moody. He's driven by really just lust and part of his desire for money and adulation. The world revolves around him. So he's like academically subnormal, all right, nothing wrong with that. He was overpromoted in the Navy. He got to was a commander, the fifth of the 11 officer ranks in the Navy. Had he been from a working class family, doubtful he would have got to be an officer at all. He's just an ordinary rating. And you know, he wasn't that bad in the Navy as it comes out, as a pilot, helicopter pilot at the Falklands, because he was a mediocre pilot, that to get the best helicopter. I mean, they're all the same make, but the newest one, and the engineer spent rather longer repairing it because they had to make up for him not being that good a pilot. But that was anyway just decent. He was guardian of Gordonston School as in head boy, again able to promote, who shouldn't have got a couple of people to do his homework for him, and so on. So the interviews people going back then, and Andrew Loney was at prep school Carglefield in Edinburgh. Now the Scottish public school world is a very, very small one, only about 50 independent schools in Scotland at the time. So he knew some people whose elder brothers or indeed sisters were at Gordon's at the time. Gordon's was going mixed in the 70s when Andrew was there. And I'm surprised more hasn't come out about sexual shenanigans was at school. And one of the most contentious things he put in here is claiming that Prince Andrew had a sexual encounter at the age of 11. And that's absolutely revolting. Is that true? And some would say, well, is he a victim? We just can't. Well, he is a victim if that's true, no matter what. We can't put that in because we're identifying him as a victim. And that is the only bit that made me retch. And so it goes on. So he was just a bit of a class clown, but he was good-looking guy. He's like so 6'1". He's more muscular than his brother. He thinks he's even better king, more commanding presence. He's less intelligent than his elder brother Charles, but you know his younger brother Edward is bland but dutiful. Prince Anne has very, very seldom put a foot wrong. Okay, caught speeding, have a dog out of control. But Prince Andrew is just an absolute low-down scumbag. Another point is a joint biography about Sarah Ferguson as well. And it entwines it very well. So it interweaves the narrative fascinatingly. Anyway, and it gives a lot more chapter and verse about his involvement with an unsavory New York financier, Jeffrey Epstein. That goes back to 1991, not 1999, like they claim. He went there very regularly, say the Britannia Suite. There were plenty of witnesses attesting what was up to. And as for did Andrew have sex with underage girls, this book says probably not. But he's certainly what usually ones in their 20s. Was it consensual? We don't have a reason to think it wasn't. Apart, the only one who claimed it wasn't was Victoria Jouffre. Even she doesn't say it was rape. She said she was pressured. I know some people say, well, that's tantamount to rape, therefore, and so on. Now, Fergie, no wonder she stays by him because he's bailed her out financially many times. And why would people be paying the 50,000 quid in cash if she couldn't get meetings with her ex-husband and so on? So, Prince Andrew has no idea what's legal and what's not. The odd thing for a man who's got his addictions, his sexual addictions, is he's teetotal. He doesn't touch alcohol. But he's fundamentally sick, which is why he tells all these provable lies that he doesn't perspire when there's ample evidence that he did perspire and things like that. How he thinks he can get away with it, how he was his mother's favorite son, and that's why, he could do no wrong. And that actually didn't help him in the end. He's been a spoilt brat all his life. So he leaves this fairly sad, lonely life, living in relative luxury, playing golf and watching telly all day. What's the man to do? He's 65. And just how dim he was, he honestly thought there was some sort of for a comeback. Although the happiest divorced couple in the world, well, and perhaps he's also too thick to realize his ex-wife is exploiting him. She's hanging on to him because he's a source of money and status and sharing that house. He does even have a good relationship with his daughters, Beatrice and Eugenie. I mean, I taught in the school that Beatrice was going to at the time, though I didn't teach her. She was head girl of her school, and Fergie is made a governor of that school, patron of the school. Probably she got they didn't have to pay school fees or something in return. So that is Prince Andrew. So yeah, he it really has brought shame on the family. Terrible. It was compelling reading, although you'll need a strong stomach in places. So yeah, I enjoyed it enormously, and I believed most of it. I think Dr. Loney, if pushed, will have admit that some of it he's not certain about. Many people willing to speak on the record about things that was perhaps surprising. Obviously, strenuous efforts were made to thwart the book, and there's been no refutation by Prince Andrew and Fergie. Why? Because there is no defense, because what's in the book is largely true. So their reputation can't be butchered even more than already has been. Anyway, warmly recommended. Retailing for £22, the hard copy, the paperback is going to come out later this year. All right, so you know your stocking fillers are about 130,000 words, authoritative. Now, it doesn't give footnotes all the time. This is not a scholarly work, though he is a scholar. We don't want an academic, but we want something which is approachable for the general reader, giving spelling out things they can't assume the general reader would know without going into excessive detail. Not too much psychobabble there. He lets the reader draw his or her own conclusions. Well, thank you for watching the channel. Make sure you comment below. Subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.